He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. I'm going to call it a soggy start to the market. As you step outside, your shoes squeak a little bit, you know, kind of soggy underneath. A lot of soggy stocks reporting earnings today. That's why I say that. And we'll get into some of those. How have they done over the years? Some of these big names that the seems like the wirehouses just love to own them. But the results of those stocks have not been too good. The Dow's down 194. That's a 0.5%. Interest rates are up. That's not helping. 38,191 on the Dow. The NASDAQ's down 24. It's at 15,956. Holding on to support, so is the Dow. S&P 500 down 7 to 5109. The small caps are down 0.625%. They always get hit the hardest when those interest rates drift higher. Crude oil down $1.20 to 81.43. That is a bellwether for the global economy a lot of times, and that's been pretty weak, pretty soft. I think also talks of a ceasefire in the Middle East have something to do with that. Gold is down $38 an ounce. It's been drifting lower. A lot of profit taking going on. There's the 10-year up 5 basis points to 4.7. And the Bitcoin is up 677 to 63,000. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And like I say, a soggy start. A lot of soggy stocks reporting today. I call those stodgy old growth giants of yesterday. That's my acronym, soggy. And we're talking the 3Ms of the world, the AT&Ts of the world, Coca-Cola, etc. And in a moment here, you'll find out why I call them soggy. Because, you know, they just have not returned much to invest. Now, they're great names. I mean, they're names that we come in contact with sometimes on a daily basis as it relates to Coca-Cola, I suppose, for some of us, some of you, and other names. I mean, like McDonald's, they've all reported today, and we're going to put them under the microscope. We're going to hold the management accountable, and we're going to hold the firms that own them so heavily accountable also. Well, we had a decent day in the market. It's kind of tiptoeing a little bit. Why would that be, Barry? What's coming tomorrow?
Yeah, we got the Fed meeting today, and then of course we'll get the press conference. Usually, I'm pretty sure it's going to be at 2:30 tomorrow. Interesting thing is, and probably why I've got a bit of a soft open, is the employment used to be a rarely viewed employment gauge, but it's the employment cost index. It actually increased 1.2% higher than what was expected of 0.9%.
Yeah,
that's why we got a little, you know, six basis point bump in the 10-year. But yeah, tomorrow will be the big press conference, and folks are saying based on this employment survey, you know, employment cost index, that Powell may come out a little hawkish tomorrow.
No so hurry to cut rates. Right. No hurry to cut rates is what. You never know which one of these reports are going to just sneak up behind you. I didn't even see that one. Okay, I said, why are interest rates up 6 basis points? Well, Barry just explained it. Because labor costs continue to rise.
The data point that used to, I mean, it's so funny. We've been following a lot of these, like, weekly jobless claims, for instance. Used to be not that big of a deal.
No.
Of course, we've kept our eye on them for, it feels like, more than a year now. And so,
yeah, and most of those the rise in labor costs coming out of California, where Yeah, what a McDonald's French fry worker's making going to be making $25 an hour pretty soon. I'm going to quit my job here. I can make French fries if the market goes in a bad way. Anyways,
$25 an hour is more than, you know, if you multiply it certainly times 40 hours a week, that's going to be more than certainly more than
$50,000
most
a year.
Folks coming out of college, you know, at least you know, on a median basis. But.
Yeah. Well, Tesla had a big day yesterday, obviously. We'll get to Tesla. There is news on Tesla again today. And tonight, the big fireworks happen at 4 p.m., 4:05, 4:10, somewhere in that neighborhood when Amazon reports and AMD reports and Super Microcomputer look up in the sky. Can it save this? The AI stocks have actually rebounded pretty well, I mean, since that big sell-off a week ago last Friday. And so that's why the market is trading cautiously today. And we shall see what those companies report tonight. Starbucks is also reporting tonight. So that's a pretty big lineup there. Okay, now one of the encouraging signs out there seems to be China. The Chinese Cajun factory activity growth hits 14-month high. So, you know, we're getting kind of mixed messages, though, out of China. But I have been watching the Chinese market, which FXI is a good ETF, is a good proxy for China. And it has been breaking out here recently. So I would say that the action in the market is probably a better gauge than the numbers coming out of China. And I would have to say that things must be perking up in China because you're seeing good action in their market. Tesla short sellers lose more than $5 billion during the late April rally. Okay, so I told you that there's always a lot of short interest against Elon Musk, against Tesla. Elon goes to war with them from time to time. Bettors that anticipated a slide in Tesla's share price have lost more than $5 billion in recent sessions, according to S3 Partners.
Well, I saw where the last handful of days his net worth has gone up $38 billion, I believe.
Yeah, well, they lost $5 billion. He gained $38 billion, yeah, so right. Count it.
He's knocking on Bezos' doorstep to take second. Again,
so. He's still a long way. So I mean, he's 100 point. No, he's more than that. He was at 414 in price, and now he's 187. So he's lost half of his net worth. The stock's no longer a trillion. I mean, it hasn't been for a long time. It's about 600. A paltry.
I mean,
$600 billion.
They've got so much wealth. It sounds like they should sell. They should sell some stock in themselves, you know?
And buy Denmark or something, you know. And that comes with Novo Nordisk. Tesla is down today, however, 3.6%. There is news on Tesla today. What was the news on Tesla? I can't remember.
They're going to be laying folks off.
Yeah, more layoffs.
You know, at first, he's kind of thrown out the 10% of the workforce number. There's whispers that it may end up being really 20%. I mean, they believe they just got, I think, I don't know her name, but someone who the person who runs the charging area today is going to be her last day, and then they're laying off or reassigning a lot of the people that report to. Reported to that group, so it's a you know, Elon's in there. Like I said, once he gets his focus on something, you know, he's gonna make things happen one way or the other, right?
And you know, by a dollar amount, Tesla, it's the third largest U.S. short. The number one short interest stock. This is based not on percentage of shares that are short, but dollar amount is Nvidia. Well, you know, it's gone the furthest and the fastest, and that's a scary.
An extra boost, I guess.
That's a scary one to short, because any good news that comes out of them, and that stock rockets pretty quickly. I'm surprised to see Microsoft is number two, But again, that's by dollars, and these are big stocks. So
yeah, and I guess if you're, you know, I guess I wonder if some of that short interest is if you're, you know, say quote unquote shorting the S&P 500, if somehow, right, you know, those companies make up a good portion of the S&P 500, so maybe by default, you get some, you know, increased short interest there potentially.
Well, when we come back, we're going to get into the soggy part of the show. So put on your rubber boots. And your yellow slicker, and don't track in any mud on your wife's carpet. I've done that. I used to, my mother and my hunting dog used to track in mud. Oh, my mother would come after me and that hunting dog. We grew up in a condo, and I had a hunting dog, so, you know, I used to let him out and roam in the back a lot, and he would get into the slough, get all muddy, chasing ducks, and then come and sit on my mother's couch. Okay, the soggy part of the show coming back. When we come back, this is the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm looking at a chart of McDonald's, and you know, it's just not very inspiring. What can I say? It's been in a downtrend here. It's in a number four downtrend. Let's see how it's done so far this year. They have reported earnings. It's flat on the day. It's traded about four times normal volume. And, you know, they always have to have some kind of excuse for why they missed their numbers. I've never seen this one, but I'm sure it's been used before. They're blaming the Middle East war impacting sales. So I don't know. I mean, do they have a lot of McDonald's in Jerusalem or Gaza? Or
I think it's essentially boycotts of, you know, American brands,
okay,
right,
okay.
You know, not necessarily American brands, but I guess, you know, companies that may contribute in some form or fashion, right? It's ripple effects that you wouldn't, like you said, that you wouldn't think much of.
But. Yeah. Well, they expect to open 2,100 more stores. I guess there's still places where there's not a McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean,
the Golden Arches.
I'm like, where are they putting this thing?
I don't know, but anyways, I didn't think their sales were up 8% year over year. How much does McDonald's do in a quarter in sales? $6.4 billion. That's a lot of French fries.
Yep. Not gonna lie, one of my guilty pleasures every once in a while.
Yes.
It's definitely a Big Mac, light on the Big Mac sauce. But
yep.
And then I let you frequent Burger King here and there, so we
yeah. Well, well, that's coming up next.
Is, right? Yeah.
Okay, that's coming up next because they've reported earnings today. Their earnings were up 14% at McDonald's. Now let's hold them accountable for how you've treated shareholders over the years. Over the last 12 months, while the S&P is up 24%, McDonald's is down 6%. So that's what we call big-time negative alpha. It has trailed the S&P by 30. Is that 300 basis points or 3,000 basis points?
Oh, wow.
I always see.
It'd be 3,000.
3,000%,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, over the last 3 years.
Carry the zero.
Over the last 3 years, you've gotten 5.4% per year out of McDonald's, not counting the dividend. Now, in a week or two, we're going to have numbers that include the dividend. And just a matter of me getting the time to write the little program with my software friend, and that's going to be in there because I think it's really important to include that in that total return. Over the last 5 years, McDonald's 6.7% per year. You know, the market's 15, so it's delivered one half of the S&P 500. And over the last 10 years, 10.5. If you add in the dividend, probably about 12. The S&P's up 17 per year. So it has trailed the S&P 500 by a pretty wide margin. And, you know, you can almost guarantee, it's just a fact. When I get an account transferred to me from Wells Fargo, Fisher, Morgan Stanley, et cetera, that McDonald's is going to be in there. That's almost a guarantee. And, you know, I don't know what the mentality is behind that. I just think it's people feel comfortable owning McDonald's. They go through the line, oh, I own a little piece of this. But, you know, I'm in it to try to find alpha.
Yeah, psychologically, it's familiar, right?
I guess
that's what, you know, with the, I don't know if that's the intentional purpose, but maybe that's why it stays in there. I don't know.
And, you know, nobody's going to sue them over, you know, McDonald's going down 10% or anything. Now, okay, here's the next one. This is not a soggy stock. This is one of the great stocks in the Dow today. I believe it's in the Dow. You know, they changed that Dow so much. Isn't Lilly still in the Dow?
I got to look because I've been waiting for you to get to it.
I know Pfizer
is. I haven't taken that stock off my screen since we started
Lilly
the show.
Lilly has a blowout report because people are eating too many French fries at McDonald's. And those apple pies aren't real good for you either. Lilly's up 7.1%. That's $52 per share on four times normal volume. Listen to this. For a company.
Lilly not in the Dow, by the way.
Yeah. No, okay. Pfizer is.
Yeah.
Let's kick Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson. Lilly is about the same size as, what's McDonald's? Let's see, McDonald's is, no, Lilly's a lot bigger than McDonald's. Okay, Lilly is up $52 a share. It's our largest position. I believe firmly in this, it's going to be the biggest drug of all time. And a 7.5% today, it's up. So we're having a good day. I'm happy. Now listen to this quarter, okay? Soggy stocks have single-digit quarters. If they're, you know, sales up 3%, if they're lucky, earnings up 5 or 6. The sales at Lilly were up 26%. Now, I wrote an article not too long ago. I said, is this going to be the next trillion-dollar stock? Well, guess what? It's closing in. It's at $750 billion. It only has to go up 33% from here to hit a trillion. And I still think it's going to hit a trillion. Their earnings were up 59% year over year. They cannot keep up with the demand. They're trying to get factories built to make Zepbound. And so there it is. I mean, what a difference. It just shows you that company, this is one of my big philosophies on the market, is that companies have life cycles. And I would have to say for Lilly, this is one that, you know, has kept themselves fresh with new products and whatnot. And you look at others in that industry, like Johnson & Johnson, you can only give management, were they lucky, stumbling upon Zepbound? But they have other drugs, too, besides Zepbound. I mean, they have big growth in several of their other drugs.
Yeah, they've been focusing on cancer pretty significantly as well.
Okay, so, I mean, what's the best drug company, big pharma in the world? There's no question about it. It's Lilly. Do you want to own the best or do you want to own the worst?
Well,
it's up to you.
Yeah, and cash is king in this business. I mean, as we've talked about it before, but and written about it, but you know, all your large pharmaceutical companies were all facing these big patent cliffs where everything, you know, a lot of their big money makers, you know, go back to a lot of the statins, Crestor, those kind of things, right? A lot of those were hitting patent cliffs, and they needed that next backfill, and this is it for Lilly. The other companies are still looking for it. Pfizer thought it was going to be a COVID vaccine. That didn't turn out well.
That's not turning out well at all. Yeah. Now you've got a lot of people suing. They're suing AstraZeneca right now, big time over in Europe.
Yeah.
Because AstraZeneca admitted that it causes blood clots. Okay, when we come back, we're going to look at the past performance. Just like you would a horse running in the Derby this week. And let's look at the past performance of Lily. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just get a little update on the market. A little soggy here today. Let's see if it's getting soggier or if it's drying up a little bit. Well, I'd say a little soggier. The Dow's down 209, NASDAQ down 59, and we're going to blame rising employment cost. And that's sending interest rates, the 10-year, up. Yeah, just 3 basis points to 4.65. Was there a Chicago PMI also, something like that, Chicago, that didn't come in as good as expected?
Yeah, we had some consumer confidence numbers that were a little lighter than expected, and the PMI.
Consumer confidence weak. Chicago PMI, 35.7 versus 45 expected.
That's a little low.
That's pretty low, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's amazing you could even get to work in Chicago with the chaos. I was watching a video of the chaos on the streets like Saturday night. Oh, my gosh, downtown in Chicago.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's where the convention, the Democratic convention, will be here. The last time they had the Democratic convention in Chicago, Mayor Daley cracking down on the protesters big time. A lot of songs coming from that. The Chicago 7 also. It was 8, but I think one guy got off, so it was the Chicago 7 stood trial. All right, now let's take a look here at Lily's track record. Okay, now, if you've never been to the horse races, you buy a racing form, and nowadays they're online. You know, my dad used to go out Friday night because we would be going to Caliani the next day. Waiting for the guy to arrive with the racing form. I was about 11 years old, 12 years old, something like that. You get him at a liquor store, usually. And he'd hand that form to me, Barry, as soon as we got home. He'd say, go to work on it, kid. Because he knew I was kind of a whiz with numbers and everything.
That's when you started crunching numbers, right?
Well, yeah. I came up with the system that calculated the final time that each horse would run. And doggone it, if it wasn't pretty accurate, you know. And, of course, you'd want to bet on the horse that had the best final time. And when I was 18, 17, I hit the 6 in a row down there. They called that the 5-10, the 5th race through the 10th race. Six. You had to pick whoever. They had a contest, 6 in a row.
Yeah, you had to pick. Yeah.
I hit all 6 in a row, and we come home with a pretty good jackpot for a 17-year-old
kid. That's the pari-mutuel betting, correct?
Yes, and in those days, now, Caliani was in Tijuana, so we crossed the border, right, into Mexico. And coming home, we crossed the border, coming back into America. This is when we enforce borders, I guess. And the guy, the border guard, asked me, the first thing they ask you is, what are you bringing back from Mexico? You know, they want to make sure you're not bringing a truckload of marijuana or drugs. And we had my dad and I, we had a bunch of bundles of $50 bills stashed underneath the seat of the car. And we looked at them, nothing, sir. And he says, he waved us right on through because I think he kind of knew us, you know, by then. And so you're supposed to report, okay, any money that's you're bringing back from Mexico, but I don't think there's any penalty. Anyways, now, Lily's returns over time. I mean, look at this. Okay, here's what a best stock now looks like. Here's the track record. Here's the past performance. This week, folks will be looking at the 20 horses that are in the Kentucky Derby. They'll be looking at their track record, okay, and the times that they've ran and the splits that they've ran and the numbers that they've earned and how much money they've won and who they've run against. All of this is taken into account. Okay, well, Lily's up against a field of 6,000 out there, right? Other stocks. 10 years. Lily has delivered 29% per year, while the market's delivered 17%. Now, that's alpha. That's what you call alpha. That difference is 11% per year. When you compound that and add in the dividend over 10 years, that's a lot of alpha. Over the last 5 years, Lily's delivered 44% per year. Market's delivered 15%, so it's tripled the returns. That's why it ranks so highly in my app. Now we're going to go to the valuation next, don't forget, because we're looking in the past here. Last 3 years, 58%, and get this, Barry, over the last 12 months, it's up 91%, while the S&P is up 24%. Personally, I think it's more reliable of a stock today than NVIDIA, because NVIDIA's product, you know, it's a hot product, and it's open to competition, and Lily's is too, but still, it'd be years away for anybody besides them and Novo Nordisk. So look at the performance. It's just phenomenal.
Well, and I think it's important, too, though, that, you know, you think of, you know, this story has been, you've been writing the story for an extended period of time.
Long time,
I mean,
yeah.
You wrote, you know, I mean, I know we wrote an article back on September 11th. You wrote an article this year, February 8th.
That's right.
I know we wrote one, I believe, before the September, you know, the point being is, you know, and folks, stocks, just because they're at all-time highs, does not mean they can't go higher, right?
No.
From a valuation standpoint, there's good reason for, you know, names, and NVIDIA being one too, but, you know, there's good reason for those names, you know, continuing to rise because growth expectations continue to outpace. You keep getting, you know, beaten raises on the earnings front, right? And in that value, the inherent value continues to creep up.
Okay, let's look at that valuation right now. So right now, Lily is ranked number 144 out of 5,300. It would be ranked higher, but it has been sideways for the last 3 months or so, 2 months. It is up 18.7%, though, year-to-date, not counting today. I still have a target price that is double from where Lily is today. And I remember the comment when I wrote the last article. The first comment was, this is the most laughable article I've ever seen on something to that effect. Okay. Well, who's having the last laugh now? He thought my multiple was laughable. Well, you know what? Lily is not a 12 or 13 multiple like Merck and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. They trade in the mid-teens, their multiples. When you have a blockbuster, this is what this guy's not realizing. He thinks it should still be trading at the same multiple that's traded historically. No. The N in Can Slim is something new. What's new at Pfizer? one of probably the biggest drugs of all time.
Yeah, earnings
so
growth is new.
We're going to keep using a 13 multiple. Now, that doesn't make common sense to me. Okay,
well, listen to these earning estimates. I mean, you got going forward in terms of earnings growth, 97% in 2024, 45% in 2025, and 31% in 2026.
There you go, and we're going to use a multiple of 13. It's laughable. My thought process is laughable, according to the guy. Now let's look at a soggy stock. Okay, this is another one. If a portfolio comes to me from one of the big ones, Fisher, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, you name it, Wells Fargo, it is almost a guarantee that Coca-Cola is going to be in there. KO. Because it's an American brand. It's Americana. Okay. How much does it cost you to own that American brand in lost opportunity? What do you call that?
Opportunity cost. And the thing is, the industry wants to, you know, pacify is not the right word, but they don't, you know, they're not going to make you super happy, and they're trying not to make you mad. And so it's like, you know, you could not drink soft drinks and still have plenty of Coca-Cola products in your house, water being one of them.
Bottled water,
right? Or Aquafina.
The term I heard a lot in the industry, the big ones, was just keep the people alive. Just keep your clients alive. That's what I heard. Well, you know what? That's not good for me. I don't like that. Just keep them alive. Don't lose too much. Don't try to make too much. Over the last 10 years, Coca-Cola, without the dividend, is 4.3% per year. 4.3%. While the S&P is 17. Over the last 5 years, it's 5.2%. The app is the truth teller. The S&P is 15. And over the last 12 months, Coca-Cola is down 3.3%, while the market's up 24%. Would you call it a stock of today? With a product that's sweeping America and, can't keep up with demand? No. I mean, they've saturated. You know, when you go into a little village deep in Mexico and they're selling Coca-Cola in the little store there, where else are they going to expand to? Anyways, it's a soggy stock. And is it down today? Well, we'll look at that when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're going to bring you up bring you current on what's going on at Burger King. The turnaround expert there, hopefully, we'll see. You know, Burger King has a dicey past. It has a dicey history. First one was built in Jacksonville, Florida, 1954.
And then it blew up. It was actually that concept was taken. Another guy actually ran with it. I read a book years ago about the story. Essentially, Whopper was created in Miami, and I believe their headquarters is still there.
The Insta Broiler was their claim to fame, right?
That's right. Yep, and, the broiler. They had a bunch of problems with it early. There was a movie years ago, handful of years ago, with Michael Keaton that was the story of McDonald's, and there's an interesting story behind how to crank the burgers
with each other too,
right?
Burger King and McDonald's, and then Pillsbury bought it in 1967.
Dude, it changed
it
hands.
Not.
Yeah, changed hands one time. I think Adagio owned it.
Then, Grand Metropolitan merged with Guinness and bought it. And then they renamed it Diageo, right, the new company. And then it comes in a private equity firm.
Yeah, 3G Capital came up. They're Brazilian, and they came up, and they're actually were big. They're kind of in on the Heinz deal, I believe, with Buffett. Buffett's always liked the guys from 3G Capital. One of the best quotes I ever heard from talk about cost cutting is one of the guys from 3G Capital said expenses are like fingernails; they always need to be trimmed.
Always.
So. Always, yes.
The product has to be maintained, and that's been a dicey history over the years.
And fights with franchisees, because you've got two different groups of stakeholders, right? You've got the brand, and then of course you've got franchisees, and sometimes the brand wants you to refresh stores, which means make an investment in equipment or in new stores, which is expensive, right, for the franchisees. So it's always kind of a push pull. concept, in that world.
They bought out all the franchises,
Carol's. Well,
they bought the biggest franchise,
the biggest franchisee, which was Carol's.
We doubled our money in that little deal.
Yeah. So
that wasn't bad. I said, look, if the turnaround king, Patrick Doyle, who turned around Domino's, is going to turn Burger King around, that Carol's Restaurants, which is the biggest franchise, taste. And we doubled our money. It has not been summated. It's not done yet, but it's just any day that they own that. So anyways, from the private equity, then they went public again. Then they merged with Tim Hortons, and somehow Popeyes came on board. Berkshire Hathaway's been involved heavily in the past.
Mm-hmm. And that's that tie to 3G Capital through the Brazilian company, I believe.
And then they brought in Firehouse Subs. Okay, so they reported earnings yesterday. And, you know, this is a work in progress, okay? We haven't realized any profit, I don't think, yet. We doubled our money in taste, okay?
We've gotten some dividend income
yes,
along the way.
But look at this move today. The stock is up 3.2% on 168% volume, of normal volume. That's a big number there. Their sales were up 9%. That's the best quarter they've had in a while. But their earnings are down 3%. They made 73 cents a share, and I think that's probably due to, you know, they're revamping. They're revamping, and I'm watching the progress. They're looking for 14% growth. This is one that, you know, I didn't buy this to just to sell it in 3 months for a big profit. I always like to have a few in my portfolio that are kind of long-term projects in management that has done well in the past. So this one here, you can't really look at Burger King's track record and their past performance because it's been pretty dismal. But you can look at the management's past performance. You know what I'm saying, Barry, here? Okay. The previous management, I mean, they've dumped a lot of money. There's been a lot of false starts. There's been a lot of stores closed. But I like what I see here today. That's a great chart on Burger King right now. It's QSR, by the way, Restaurant Brands International, and they also pay a dividend of 3.1%. So I'm not going anywhere. I'm in it for the long haul. Patrick Doyle, no guarantees, but Domino's went up 2,300% under his leadership over like a 10-year period of time. Now we got to go soggy one more time. And then we'll be done. 3M. 3M's having a good day. It's up 5.7. That's got to be helping the Dow. I haven't looked at the Dow here. But over the last 10 years, 3M has been a negative performer. Maybe it's time to move it out of the Dow. I don't know who you would replace it with. But over the last 10 years, minus 2% a year, not good. Over the last 5 years, minus 10% per year. At one time, the pride of Minnesota, but definitely with its struggles recently in recent years, really over the last 10 years.
And even some lawsuits. They had the ear protection lawsuits.
Right.
So.
Well, anyways, there you go. So the good, the bad, the soggy, right?
Yeah,
not the good, the bad, the ugly, but soggy. Okay, look, they were one time inventors, new products. When I think of 3M, nowadays I think of the notes, right? The stick-it notes.
Post-its. Yeah.
They're in a lot of different industrial tapes, adhesives. They're in the medical arena, office products. They're in surveillance. They're in communications products. They kind of need a GE-type turnaround that has been pretty dang successful so far. But it's having a good day. It's up 5.8%. Okay. Where do you learn about all these stocks? We try to just, the app, you can't hide behind past performance. You really can't. And that exposes a lot of stocks for what they really are. The newsletter every 2 weeks exposes them. You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. The app shows these this track record. BestStocksNowApp.com, $9.99 a month to see the track record. It may be a real wake-up call. And to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.